also, although it may teach reincarnation, it doesn't teach the existence of an enduring individual soul. Those features, though, are found in Mahayana Buddhism, because, as was mentioned, they are developments of the more secret teachings of Buddha, yeah, as opposed to his outward.
Yeah, Hinayana became changed or expressed in a different way. And isn't that what happens to all religions? The real true teachings are lost, and they're implemented by what is expedient at the time. So yes, there is no enduring being, but that is what is not understood. You have a...
Sure.
Well,
You're on.
So the question, there was a kind of a comparison, was Buddha to Hinduism kind of like Christ was to Judaism? And our understanding was that Buddha came as a reformer of Hinduism, as Christ is said to have come as a reformer of Judaism, and he never actually intended for this movement, for this religion of Buddhism to start. But there are folks who would say that, not too long after the Buddha passed, that he reincarnated as Sankaracharya with that same mission to reform Buddhism, but keep it from within. And there's a lot of folks who think that's exactly who he was and what he did. It was a reformation of Hinduism from within.
Yeah, and Tsongkhapa, and there's the whole philosophical understanding of a lineage of beings, of Buddhas, but as we are. We look at this as really outside of us, but it's really just a reflection of us. We haven't realized our full potential, but the potential is there. So there is, it's amazing how if the truth keeps on coming out in different generations, it doesn't change. And that's why the Buddha expressed these ideas, but then he had to come back and make sure that these ideas were being expressed, because man changes things. That's why, again, we're sitting here. We've probably sat together before. And these same ideas were being expressed. You can't come on to these ideas and hear of them, and all of a sudden I know that.
In Mahayana Buddhism, Buddha Siddhartha, he gave instructions, which is explanations. There is another Buddha, Padmasambhava, who is very, very important for Mahayana Buddhism. He gave actually instruments, two books, how to reach enlightenment. And for Buddhists, enlightenment is like to break a cycle. So those two books, easy steps, it's just step by step how to break your cycle, karma, and everything. But it's difficult to do them. In theosophy, there is HPB, she gave explanations, instructions. So how about instruments? Where's the instruments how to break a cycle in terms of theosophy? Is there a book?
Oh, yes. There's many books.
Like what?
Well, there's a book inside of you that you need to come and get in touch with. That unchanging aspect, the witness of this whole panorama. But in times of great crisis, we all turn to the Bhagavad Gita. It's an instruction manual of how to live in this world during this Kali Yuga. How do we not create adverse karma? And you know, Buddhists, it's mindfulness. But we don't want liberation. We want salvation. And that's what Mahayana Buddhism is. Not liberation, not nirvana, but salvation by the trying to live a life of unity, of cooperation. Mahayana Buddhism. You know, the heart doctrine is found throughout all religions. The Sermon on the Mount, but there's just, you know, and Mohammedism. You know, there are songs or melodies that speak to us. And how we act, and what we are attached to. There's our suffering, our attachments. Free ourselves from those attachments. And it's not something that someone can give us. It's something that we have to work at. That it is something earned. That we look at ourselves in the light of Buddha, in the light of theosophy. Yes.
Well, it's all a matter of language. And we read the declaration and we have the Bhagavad Gita, the voice of the silence, and many of these texts from the Far East. However, everyone is invited to the library on Wednesday evening, but there the librarian will point out a system or a method or a way, and beginning with those three fundamental ideas. Theosophy. Well now, what is that? And we read the reading from, where is it? Those words, a big word. Yes, there's some footnotes in the voices that point out the way. The United Lodge of Theosophy, the policy of this lodge. Well, we can read things to everybody, but it may go in one ear and out the other. So we have to think about them and ask those who have been helping out, what does that mean? Now we're on our way.
Well, that's really the purpose of these rooms, is to keep open to the public a place, an environment, a space, a sacred space, for the truth to be spoken, which is embodied in theosophy. Yes.
Regarding the previous question regarding a manual in theosophy to break the cycle of karma, reincarnation, as was pointed out, escape from reincarnation is not the goal of theosophy or Mahayana Buddhism. But what we do and escape the cycle of is ignorance and selfishness, which is ultimately the cause of our incarnation. And we can find those definite instructions and guidance specifically in the book that was read this morning, The Voice of the Silence. And he tells us at the very beginning that it's for the few who want to be disciples of their of this higher path, so to speak, this higher ethic. So that's where we can look for daily guidance. It's a manual.
Yes, yes, and I think this is what in Buddhism are called bodhisattvas. those who take the vow to find the truth at any cost. You become a bodhisattva. You didn't know you were that, did you? You know, a Buddha is so intuitive, but he gave out a whole wealth of information or of knowledge, of wisdom. And we see that he was here 500 BC, and after all, with that 2,500 years, give or take, you know, is that these ideas are still alive. But what it does, it brings back people to look at themselves for who they truly are. You know, this, we think we're this body, and therefore everything revolves around how we feel. Well, what's said in Buddhism and said in theosophy is that we are the creators of the universe. We are creators. So our thought, our word, and our deeds become the creative force of our life. The brain is a dynamo. Of energy and thoughts. We are generators of karma. In reading, we found that many ask, well, why does that master do so little? Not to create more karma. That's something to think about. All of this is. Yes.
Well, we found in the reading, have perseverance. Thy shadows live and vanish. Is this what we're going to talk about? It's not a fleeting life. It is the man that was, is, and will be. For whom the hour shall never strike. This language from the Far East certainly goes to the point better than the English that we speak daily. This is musical. It stimulates our thinking. And we continue at this with those three fundamental propositions as a basis. And we find out that we don't need a doctor of education. It appeals directly to us. And when we see the Far Eastern language used, now we can use English. But we have to first get an idea of the meaning of deity, law, evolution.
English is a commercial language. Okay, English is not the language of those who are spiritual. We are very material. So language is very important. That's why we come and we hear these languages of Sanskrit and Pali and so forth, and we are challenged. But we are also told that when we read the voice of the silence, when we read the Bhagavad Gita, as we have presented here, we understand it on seven different ways. Our consciousness may only be aware of one, or maybe sometimes two. You know. So when we read them, we are affected by them. Now, our understanding may not be equal to that, but like all things of this nature, one's understanding grows. They say that the Gita is used by the masters, by those beings that are still higher on the path than us, because it is written in seven different ways. Again, right thought, the right view.
Yeah, we have seen it written, and we agree primarily English is a language for war and trade. But that's how ideas are spread as well. And fortunately, one of the things about English is that we borrow or steal from everyone. We have taken these ideas and we continue to. There's a, like the French, for instance, try to keep the words out. They can't really do it, but they want to keep it pure. That's their mindset. But English, it's been called a bastard tongue, because we take from everybody. We take it, we make it our own, and in the past 150 years, it has, the war and the trade is still going on, but this, these spiritual ideas are now spreading over the world because it is the world language. It's, if you don't speak it, you're, in a sense, out of the game.
Well, the game that you're presuming
life,
that
life and living.
Yeah, well, life and living is the reality in which you have created. You know, it's yes, selfishness does reign supreme. Okay, and nature has a way of working it out, and we trust in nature. We sometimes don't trust in ourselves. I think that's why all the doubt that we see that's propagated, and we are so easily feared. We become fearful and frightened of the slightest little things. We're not brave anymore, you know? So we are interesting, yes.
Why we don't want to break a cycle?
Do we want change? Every ounce of our being, we don't want to change. We like this. We don't say it though. You know, we have a little complaint, but we're comfortable. We got everything under control. Now you want to change it?
I do.
Yes. Well, you think hard and fast, because when you change it, you will. You will. But you have to put the effort into changing it. That's how you think. That's right thought. What is the reality? How the English are? Sure, it may be that reality, but it does not consume my thoughts. Our reality is that we are brothers and sisters. I'm not separate from you. I love you, or I don't love myself. You know, Mahayana Buddhism, everyone's included. So the feeling of separateness is just a delusion that we live by. Yeah.
How breaking a cycle is a living of separateness. I want to break a cycle for everybody.
Well, we all do. We all do. That, you know, if you don't break the cycle, you'll just have to deal with it again. Big deal. Big deal. So, you're trying. Are you trying?
I'm trying.
That's all, you know, that's what HPB says. Just keep on trying. Keep on trying. You're doing a good job. As long as you have a smile on your face. Well, we're coming close to the end, but a couple quick ones.
We think cycle of reincarnation, like breaking the cycle of samsara, whereas earlier we were talking about, it was being discussed, that the path of renunciation and foregoing nirvana, because one chooses to stay within the great cycle of evolution and assist everyone else along the way. You don't have to do that. You can break the cycle and liberate yourself. The teaching of renunciation says, however, that is the spiritually selfish thing to do. It's a personal choice if that's the direction you're headed in. But the object here is to participate, is to not have to reincarnate, but rather to choose to be here in an effort to serve.
You got that?
I got that a long time ago, but it's not an answer from her.
That's why he's just trying to help. Okay, we're all just trying to help. One more helper.
So it all goes to motive. In the Western world, we have been tinged in a collective pool of thought about vicarious atonement and individual salvation, being saved. Whereas from the Eastern ancient school of thought, the motive becomes purifying for the collectivity. So going back to the Kuan Yin pledge and thinking about that is you break the cycle, but what's your motive? Is it individual or is it universal?
Yes, and everything comes down to motive. We hope you found these ideas comforting and also enlightening. And that we'd like to remind you that everything here is done on a voluntary basis of time, service, and money. And all are welcome to participate. So anyone who would like to participate in any activity here is welcome to do so. Meeting adjourned.